Support for the Front Row on FM 89.1 comes from the Community Foundation of West Texas and from Citibank. Citibank's wealth management team of advisors, private bankers, and trust officers help customers create personalized strategies to help connect with long-term goals. More information on Citibank Wealth Management is available at 806-687-2955. And from Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Vast opportunities abound in art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by vastly talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. Texas Tech's JT and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts, vastly different. The Texas Tech University School of Music Celtic Ensemble, known nowadays as the Elegant Savages Orchestra, is giving a concert this Saturday at the Texas Tech University School of Music's Hemley Recital Hall. We'll have all the details on today's program. I hope you can make plans to stay tuned. On today's edition of The Front Row, we're in the office of Dr. Christopher Smith, who is the director of the Vernacular Music Center here at the Texas Tech University School of Music. Dr. Smith, Chris, thanks very much for inviting us into your space and telling us about the things that's going on in the Vernacular Music Center. Thanks very much.
It's always a pleasure, Clint. Glad to be here.
Now, I know a lot of folks over the years, of course, will know you as the director of the Celtic Music Ensemble and other ensembles, and you're now in charge of all kinds of not only ensembles but academics as well, and you have a big program coming up on Saturday night. Tell us when, where, what, and how, and all of those things.
Okay. The program is the winter program of the TTU Celtic Ensemble, a.k.a. the Elegant Savages Orchestra. And the program is on Saturday, February the 2nd. It was originally scheduled for Sunday the 3rd, but that has been shifted so that everyone can watch the Super Bowl halftime show.
Right.
So we're on Saturday, the 2nd of February at 7:30 p.m. in Hemley Hall. It's all ages, free, family-friendly, non-binary. It's music, dance, and song of the seven Celtic nations. And it actually celebrates the literal date of one of the great holidays in the Celtic calendar, which is February the 2nd, which is Imbolc, or St. Brigid's Day. And Imbolc is, in the Celtic calendar, the date for the beginning of spring. And so St. Bridget, who is the patron saint of this holiday, is the patron saint of healing and running water and new green growing things and of lambs, because lambs are always born after the last hard frost. So it celebrates Imbolc, St. Bridget's Day in the Celtic calendar, Saturday night, February the 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in Hemley Recital Hall.
Well, what a wonderful thing to celebrate the coming of spring, given how cold it's been. That's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about, this has been a story of the Celtic Ensemble evolving into the Elegant Savages Orchestra, which is just one of many things that you do. Tell us how that came about.
Sure. Well, I was very fortunate and very grateful to be invited by Director Bill Ballinger of the School of Music, the then director Bill Ballinger, to found a Celtic ensemble. I've played that music ever since the 1970s. And so it was an interesting experiment in 2006 and 7 to say, well, if we're going to have an ensemble based in a university conservatory, but it's going to play these traditional, we call them vernacular musics, how do we meet? What's the meeting ground there? And I've had wonderful musicians over the years in the Celtic ensemble. I literally sat down and made a list of everyone who's been through a VMC ensemble in the last 20 years, and it's over 500 people who've literally played in ensembles. So the Celtic Ensemble for its first few years was what we call a small ensemble of 8 or 10 or 12 musicians playing the traditional music of the seven Celtic nations, including Ireland and Scotland and Wales and Brittany. But over the years, more and more students of more and more diverse backgrounds became interested in participating, particularly students who were music majors here in the School of Music who play non-traditional Celtic instruments. So instead of, they're not fiddle players or flute players or tin whistle players. In addition to those, we also have high and low brass and high and low reeds and high and low woodwinds and percussion. And so the ensemble got bigger. And because the ensemble got bigger and we were using these non-traditional non-Celtic traditional instruments, I began to do more arranging, more orchestrating. And so at this point, the ensemble has fluctuating between about 49 and 52 people in it. And the result of that is that it's really more a chamber orchestra, the way that a Haydn or Mozart orchestra might have 26 or 28 players with one to a part, or a Bach orchestra. And so I think of it as legitimately as a kind of folk orchestra. And it kind of does a what if. It says, what if folk musicians like myself had encountered the resources of the orchestra and had been invited or had asked themselves to address the question, what do we do with our music in that instrumentation? And so the Elegant Savages, which is kind of a funny name,
right.
I kind of have this image of a bunch of pagan raiders wearing tuxedos.
Right.
But it also riffs on the idea that we're inventing something here. We're inventing our idea of a folk orchestra. And that's what will be, that experiment will continue on Saturday night at Hemley.
Well, I saw a roster of people and I was astounded. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that it had grown to this thing. And that led me then to the question,
yep.
How were you able to use this in an ensemble? And so you're doing a lot of the scoring and writing yourself?
Yeah, I like to think of the ensemble as a kind of meeting ground. It's a meeting ground between orchestral notation techniques and traditional or vernacular sound and aesthetics. How do I make an orchestra play with the sound and phrasing and lift for the dancing that a traditional ensemble would do? It's also a meeting ground for musicians of very different backgrounds,
right.
Very different levels of expertise or prior experience. We have people who are very much, we'd say, journeyman players, who are still very much learning players, apprentice players. We have people who are very strong players who love the idea of playing a different music on their primary instrument. We have people who are excellent players who use this ensemble as an opportunity to do something, singing or dancing or playing a second instrument they don't ordinarily employ.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so we think of it as a meeting ground. It is out of those meetings, this new kind of synthesis arises. Yeah. And I when I post on social media, I say, well, it's kind of tribal. it's a bit of a joke, but I also mean that as this ensemble, as I think is true with all the VMC ensembles in their own ways, this ensemble tries to live out not only an aesthetic, but a set of values. And we try to, as all responsible ensemble musicians in any music do, we try to make sure that our values are congruent with our practices and that our practices are congruent with our values. And so an ethos of inclusivity and accessibility and celebration and compassion and just the joy of sharing communal art making, which I think of as a fundamental human right. I think that humans need to participate in making art and that our lives as humans are richer when we do that. Which is why we always have participants from the community and we always have participatory dance numbers. And we're closing our show on Saturday night with a big open dance number. And anybody from the audience can come down and dance with us.
Well, that was the next question I had. People who have been, say, to the Celtic Christmas will have seen not only the orchestra, but also individual players playing a variety of really interesting instruments and dance and other things as well. Will that happen on Saturday night?
Absolutely, yeah. So much of what we play is dance music. So much of what so many musicians around the world, including the world of the conservatory, originates as dance music.
Sure.
That we came to a place where we thought, if we only play the sounds, then we are not engaging the totality of what that art form is and seeks to accomplish. My students in my ensemble have heard me say this ad nauseum, you know, I think that if you play any kind of dance music from a samba to a galliard to a Bach jig to a Chopin mazurka, if you have played it for dancing or you have if you have learned the dance that has inspired that piece of sounding music, you will play that music, I believe, with a much more complete and embodied understanding. And so lots of musicians and lots of teachers of music understand that. My colleague, the great Bill Westney, certainly understands that with his work that comes out of Rearrhythmics but has expanded to this entire art form of teaching in the body. That's what we try to do. We embody music and we embody dance and we try to embody tribal values.
Right. How often do you rehearse?
I'm chuckling because it's the stock reaction would be to say, not enough.
Right.
And the answer to the more substantive answer is that we rehearse once a week for 2 hours with some sectional rehearsal times, which is not a lot of time. Right. The analogy, mostly because my players are so busy. Some of them are in two or three or four other ensembles.
Right.
And so I have to be sensitive to their time and their practice time, you know, all the other work that they have to do. So the analogy I use with my ensemble is it's kind of like what in the world of jazz we used to call a rehearsal band, where it's a bunch of really strong players who get together on the one night of the week when nobody has a gig, and they just read through things, you know. And if their programs come together very slowly, or if they don't play a zillion gigs, that's not really why they're doing it. They're doing it because, as my players will say, for that 2 hours, we're in that space with that music with those people, and that's joyful. And so we rehearse 2 hours a week. We do three programs a year. And we have to do a lot of calibrating to be realistic about what we try to accomplish, given the tight strictures on the time that we have. Yeah. But those 2 hours are mostly really joyful. And we laugh a lot.
Right. Good. Tease us about other things that you have in mind for the semester.
We have some wonderful stuff coming up. The Mariachi will have two concerts, as they often do, in April. The Early Music Ensemble has a program coming up. I cannot recall the exact date, but it's in March. Balkan Ensemble has a program coming up here in just a couple of weeks, and I'm sure that you'll have that info over the airwaves. We've got projects in the late spring. There's another ESO, a big sort of spectacular festival show in April. We've got lots of projects going on. Lots of collaborations in the community. We have an amazing collaboration coming up, we think, in the fall of 2019 with the Wallace Theater in Levelland, which will be quite an immersive evening's worth of entertainment. So there's lots going on, lots of great work that's being done across this whole unit, and we in the Vernacular Music Center are still really inspired to be part of this community of artists.
Right. Tell us again all the details on the concert for Saturday.
Saturday, February 2nd, this coming Saturday, February 2nd at 7:30 p.m. in Hamley Recital Hall. It's a free concert, all ages, non-binary, and if you want to dance, sit in the front rows.
Okay, sounds wonderful. Dr. Chris Smith, thank you as always. Thank you very much.
Thank you as always as well, Clint. Thank you very much.
This episode of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.